Hey everybody, good to see you. Hope you're still able to listen to a talk, not completely exhausted from how many talks was that so far? Like how many tracks? Some 15, 20 since yesterday? Good. I will try not to bore you too much. First question, who of you has been using LibreOffice here? Great. That's pretty much everyone. You use LibreOffice? Oh, you're just not raising your hand. So me, of course, as well. Excellent. Who of you is using GPG for, I suppose, email? That's almost everybody. Great. So you're in the perfect talk for that. yeah, this is about GPG, OpenPGP support in LibreOffice. This has been kindly sponsored by the German Federal Agency of Computer Security. That's the logo there. So that out of the way, some words about me. My name is Thorsten Behrens. I work for CIB. In another capacity, I was one of those guys who went with the code and did LibreOffice back in the day. I'm still involved with that project, and I'm under there's a German foundation that's kind of collecting some money and holding some trademarks and running some servers, and I'm in the board. Other than that, I've been working with that code since quite a few years, early at Sun and then at SUSE, and also I'm pretty outspoken supporter for open standards and free software. I've been working with the OASIS ODFTC since many years. I've been involved for a few years with the OXML from the other side because we were trying to get a handle there and get, back in the day, for OpenOffice to get stuff properly documented so we can implement that. Yeah, sorry for a little bit of advertising here, but this is my company, or our company, CIB. It's a medium-sized company based in Munich, some offices all across Europe. We do tons of things. One of them is LibreOffice. And this is a bit more about, more specifically, what we are doing. As I say, LibreOffice is one of the, just one of the products or the services that we're providing. To a large extent, we're a consultancy business, so we you come to us and we implement stuff for you, or we fix your bug, or we build your product. But we also have products like long-term support for LibreOffice and other stuff, mobile application, PDF tools, document processing tools, a number of banks that we provide with like mass production systems for documents, so that, you get your account statements, or for insurance agencies, those annual invoices. for LibreOffice, as I said, we are doing consultancy. So this is one of the consultancy projects, this GPG for Libre. We also do long-term support. We have a number of customers there who don't want to upgrade in the pace that the LibreOffice upstream project is updating, which is about once a year. We also have some support, some trainings. We do macro stuff and extension stuff and all of that. If you have questions on that, just come to me after the talk and we chat. I'm not going to go much deeper here. Just that if you want to do something with LibreOffice in a professional capacity, we have some thousands of seats to run there and need some help there, we are one of the companies who can provide the help. Okay, so back to the actual topic of the talk, which is GPG for Libre. That's the short name for it. The longer name is in the talk. First, we will look a little bit into signing. which is the part of, so there's two parts, signing and encryption. Signing is the part that's actually available as we speak in LibreOffice 5.4. So you can get that in a production-ready version, and you don't need to run or compile some bleeding-edge code. So why in the first place did we do that? Or why is the BSI, this federal agency of computer security, why are they funding that? So first of all, there can't be enough crypto these days. So the more crypto we do and the more products there are with built-in crypto, the harder life is for the bad guys, be that state-level actors or just plain criminals. So the more tiny little pieces of crypto are there that are guarding, protecting, securing your communication and your data, the better. So this is one of the many, many areas and many, many places where just adding crypto improves overall security and makes our digital life a little bit less vulnerable. And LibreOffice is fairly widespread, so that's some estimates, 120 million users out there using that, so adding that piece helps perhaps a little bit to improve there. Another aspect, so LibreOffice already, or OpenOffice back in the day, and LibreOffice inherited that code. There is, since I think 2005 or something, there is support for S/MIME or X509 certificates built in. That's cool, but that's perhaps not the easiest thing to do if you want everybody to use crypto, because it's kind of involved. It's not so easy to get those keys. It's not so easy to get other people to trust those keys. It's not so easy, especially under Linux, to actually make LibreOffice or OpenOffice find your key. It's not so nice. It's not so very usable. One of the goals really was to get something that is almost natural, like just at the tip of your fingers, like you just click here and it's all done. So you don't need to set up things, you don't need to run shell scripts or do system level or system administrative level stuff. So that was one of the tools. It has to be very easy. So the trivial stuff like signing or encryption has to be very easy. And if you do more involved things, then you're good, you're fine. But the initial experience should be very easy. What should the outcome should be? Something cheap, ubiquitous, like should be everywhere. It should be peer-to-peer, so there shouldn't be any central authority like with X509 that needs to, you don't need to have the certificate authority, you don't need to have this, or at least not necessarily this chain of trust. And then for LibreOffice, it also would be really nice if it's cross-platform, because LibreOffice is cross-platform. So everything that is just Windows or just Mac or something that's kind of not so great. So why did we then go for GPG or OpenPGP? Well, it has almost all of those features, plus a number of extra ones, like, for example, a nice, it's very, very well established. It's probably reasonably secure. It's been out there for a long, long time, so I suspect most of the bugs, most of the problems have been discovered already. It has nice things like smart card plugins, like this YubiKey stuff, so if you have kind of extra layers of security that you can add to that, or two-factor authentication, that sort of thing. Another question, of course, is beyond this, nice fuzzy feeling like, oh, crypto makes us more secure. There are those aspects, especially for signing, that's like, so why would somebody want to sign a document that's imminently editable. So why would that help? I mean, for PDF, it's kind of signing a paper. It's a document that is kind of, it's like a printout, it's fixed, but why would it help for something like a text document that you can still edit, or a presentation, or a spreadsheet? So there's multiple layers there. First of all, it's helpful to know that someone who has reviewed a document and sent it along can be sure that it's like on the way, it can't be tampered with. So the other side can be sure this guy has signed it and it arrives at the state that this person deemed it's okay. The second thing is it also authenticates the other side. So I can be sure that it's this guy and not the middleman who signed it and changed something. It's also integrity, so I can be sure that no middleman came and inserted some evil macro virus or something, or some funny PNG that's kind of triggering a buffer overflow. And there's this nice little thing called non-repudiation, which means the other side also cannot claim, no, I didn't send you that. Yes, you did. Yes, here's your signature. Or at least it proves that somebody with possession of that person's key that produced that, which is not, I mean, in front of a court, it might not be exactly the same, but for the sake of the argument, let's assume it's the same. So for the encryption, it's of course this, with cloud, I mean, you can say, what point is there to encrypt that? I mean, it's on my disk, but well, maybe your disk is not encrypted, or maybe you have some cloud storage there, something that's syncing that to the cloud, or it's some file share, or it gets backup in your company. So it's kind of helpful, at least if there's no extra price or not much of an extra price you're paying, to also secure so-called data at rest. So data that's not, I mean, data in transit, that's kind of obvious that it should be, and it's these days it's pretty much 100%. So everybody's using HTTPS, so data that's in transit is usually secure, but data at rest, which is on your disk or in your network share or in the cloud, sometimes ain't. So and it also helps to be able at least to offer that option to make that unreadable to the occasional attacker. So good. Let's get into the medias res. What's this all about, or how did we do that? Well, we took LibreOffice and we took this GPGME, which is an abstraction, IPC abstraction around GPG and some other tools. And so we plug that into LibreOffice and we call some functions there, and out comes signed or encrypted ODF. And on the other side of the fence, there's IPC layer, or just plain plain program XCPE, just spawning a process and handing some arguments there. GPG, that's called via IPC. So we hand over all the hard crypto and entering the PIN and perhaps storing that PIN for a while so you don't have to enter it again and again. We leave that to something that is provably, or at least very likely, more secure and better audited than LibreOffice. LibreOffice has some 10 million lines of code. It's entirely possible that not every line there is completely fine. So the surface, the attack surface, is much smaller, and the code is much better reviewed for GPG. So that's kind of extra layer of security. So we just hand it over to GPG, let it do the crypto, and get the encrypted document, or the signed digest, or the signed part of the document back. We also use whatever is there on the system for key management. So there's a basic level of handling keys built into LibreOffice. But whenever, for example, you want to do trust editing or you want to, whatever, add a subkey or an email address or something like that, you're going to send to one of those guys. And there's just a list of executables that are tried in order. That's most of them there. So that should largely have you covered. So I write this KGPG or something for KDE. That's also supported. I forgot to add that to the slides. Okay. This is a bit more technical. Just tell me if it's getting... by the way, if there's any questions so far, just feel free to ask. Just shout at me. We don't necessarily have to have that at the end. So this is like diving a little bit deeper into how this with the multiple processes that works. Does anybody know this nice mobile application, by the way? That's some Impress remote control and has some nice laser pointer here. And I really like it. And I mentored the GSOC student who implemented that. And it's really cool. So for the certificate manager, this just gets handed over here. And then it's kind of doing this editing of the keys. And it's also interacting here with the GPG. And so essentially, there's also some key management or key listing functions that we're calling, but essentially we're just calling two functions, this GPGME and as a sign and encrypt, and we just pass some data buffer there and get a data buffer back. And everything else happens in this GPG process, so we were waiting until this is done. And this is interacting with the agent. So when you have an agent running and you don't, whatever, some 10 minutes or half an hour timeout, so you don't need to retype the passphrase over and over again. This is all kind of nicely encapsulated. And out comes either signed or encrypted ODF here. So this works really wonderfully on Linux. That probably will work reasonably wonderfully on Mac. That doesn't currently work at all on Windows. actually, I was a bit surprised. You might not be surprised, but I was a little bit surprised because so the problem is that LibreOffice is an open source project. So we really, really, really want to build whatever we run from source. So we build from source on Linux, we build from source on Mac, and it's not a problem for GPGME. But we want to build from source also on the Windows, and that's a problem with GPGME, because GPGME is a kind of hardcore auto tools, autoconf project that simply doesn't build. Like, I tried very hard, and it doesn't build on Windows. And so you're asking me, what's the story with GPG for Win? Well, they cross-build. They build on Linux. But they use MinGW and they cross-build there. So they have all the Linux tool chain. The problem is we can't, that sounds like, well, where's the problem? But the problem is we have to build on Windows and we can't, at least technically from the upstream project, we can't kind of spin up some Linux VM and hand over the building to that and then get the binaries back and then plug it all in. That's a bit involved. And we also can't, although there has been attempts, we can't build LibreOffice. We can't cross-build LibreOffice because we need, for binary compatibility, we need the Microsoft compiler. This is very unfortunate. As I say, there was some attempts to do cross-building, but it turns out that our users don't really care that we are those freedom lovers and like to build on Linux. They only care that their extensions that they paid money for, potentially, that they still work. And they don't because the ABI, the C++ ABI is different if you use GCC and the C++ libs there, or you use the Visual Studio compiler. So that's unfortunate. So that's the reason why for LibreOffice 5.4 there's only Linux supported, although I'm reasonably proud to say that Linux is really, really well supported, so that works. Although it's a .0 version, I'm aware of one bug, and it's fixed. It's going to be fixed in 5.4.1, which is out in I think, a week or something. and we plan to support Windows, so I have some badass guy sitting on that problem to port that over. We hope to ship that for 6.0, which is due in end of January next year. And it's really just compiling. Well, actually, I got it to compile. It's just not linking. But at the end of the day, it's not working. So yeah, but in theory, it should. So technically, the same support, the same techniques, the same abstraction works on Windows. So there's software there, like some Outlook plugin that uses that. But it's using the cross-build binaries that we can't. Good. So what did we actually do? I mean, that was what we didn't do. It's like we didn't manage yet to get it working on Windows. What did we actually do? Some screenshots there. I will also show a quick demo if I make that. It should still work. So first of all, we did some UI improvements. What you see here is this info bar. That's this, like, you know that from the browser probably. That's kind of newish, not so like 20 years old UI concept. So whenever the software wants to tell you something that doesn't require immediate answer, like, so it's just not popping a dialogue in front of your face. It's just kind of gently telling you that something is happening. It's this info bar. We added that. The reason why we added that is this this little thing here. You see this? I mean, you probably don't see that, which is the point entirely. So there's a tiny little icon in the status bar that historically was showing the signature status. And do you see that? No, you don't see that. I don't see that either. So it's kind of blown up some 1,000% here. This is this one. So this is absolutely pointless. I mean, it's just the screens have grown by so much, you don't see that. So this is like still there, but it's not. So when the signature is invalid, you get this red info bar, which is very obvious. And the signature is OK, like it's technically valid, but you don't trust the key, you get this orange one. And if everything's fine, then you get this nice blue here. But the slide was full. Yeah, but that's a bit of, so we integrated all, so this is actually the old dialogue from, yes? Say again? That's a very, just coming up here. Yeah. So the question was, if I open a document with a valid signature and a good key, what am I seeing? So let me just plain show you. Oh, that's the wrong. That's what you see. So we did discuss that. So my originally the color was green that I was picking there, but I was told that green is not a good idea. So you really want this blue, which is kind of means like, be calm, it's all good, it's all wonderful. Green is too exciting. So,
you start fighting immediately, because the first character that is here doesn't want side anymore.
Yeah. So let me do that. So, and if I save then, but let's quickly, let me just finish the sentence and then we go, we can play with the feature a bit. I mean, there should be time. So what I wanted to tell you is that this is an integrated list of all valid keys that I have, or valid certificates that I have for signing. You see two X5 or nine certificates there at the top. And then comes a chunk of OpenPGP keys that I happen to have in my keychain. And the idea behind that was that it shouldn't matter for the user. It's really he or she, but the only thing that she should be interested in is, this is my selection of keys, and then I can perhaps choose whatever my recipient might be knowing or whatever is still valid. So I just click on that, and there's no weird UI, no external program that's kind of outside the LibreOffice user experience showing up there. Just that, Empress Remote has stopped. How very unfortunate. So I need this one.
This is the same list that your browser trusts by opening HTTPS.
So the question is whether that's the same, this X509, whether that's the same CA that my browser is using for HTTPS. Yes and no. So it's technically, it comes from, under Linux, it comes from Firefox. And it's also the same concept, like with the certificate authority, but it's a different, I mean, you need, actually, either you do something like CA cert, which happens not to be in any browser, so it's kind of involved, so you need to tell everybody to install that that root certificate, or you buy that, it costs actual money to get yourself some certificate there, so that's some $70 a year or so that you pay for that. Okay, so, but there's this little button there, so start certificate manager, and then you get the Seahorse or the Cleopatra, and you can do some key editing. But yeah, why not let's do the demo a bit. So this is the this is the document, and so what it says now, I don't know if that's visible from the back of the room, the signature was valid, but the document has been modified, and now it's yellow. So I can give me this one, and then it tells me, well, before you do anything with signing, you rather save that, because what's happening, it's signing on the XML level, so whatever I'm doing now, I need an exported XML version of that document, so I'm saving that. And then I can just do this sign. And I'm using my test key here. And I'm, this is a test. And that's very funny. You can't see that, but I'm going to. Still can't see that, which is a shame. Now you can see that. So that's the pin entry. GPG is very smart there, so it detected that I have a terminal connected, because the version of LibreOffice I'm showing you is some developer build on the way to 5.4.1 that I was just downloading and unpacking and starting from the terminal. So it detects there's a terminal connected to that process, and it's now giving me that. So that wouldn't normally happen to you. Normally, when you install that, then you start that probably from your window manager or from a desktop environment. But there we go. I found that pretty amusing the first time because I couldn't find the pin entry until I was checking the debugger console. You see this is the same small icon up here, and that's also in the status bar, so it's almost invisible. But when I close that guy, then I'm again getting the info bar again, which is blue again, so it's all fine. So what we can do now is we can tamper with that document a bit. So let me get to editor somehow. In the front, there we go. Here's the screen, and that's very helpful. So that's this document here. This is a little bit of editor magic. Is that visible? Maybe I should a little bit bigger. Okay, like that. So this is the actual ODF document. This is the text you've just been seeing here. And so let's now do some fun here. And then we save that, and then we reload the document. And voila, so signature is invalid. So that's what we would expect. I can now undo the change and save again. And actually, I didn't try that before, but I would expect the signature to be okay again. Oh, shame. So there's some amount of reformatting. This is not part of the. This is not part of the signed content. But it's possible that the editor is doing some funny formatting things here. So what happens technically is that there's some amount of canonicalization going on. So it shouldn't matter whether there's like space here or here. So what is it saying anyway? Okay. So there's something else we can do. Okay, so that's 15. Is that for 45 minutes or for an hour?
45.
Okay, so we would then have 50 minutes for questions. Excellent, good. So let's not go down here so much. So what? So just trust me. So it's erring on being safe. So whatever you do, for example, there's something else to show how that works. Let's pretty print that a bit. Somehow visible. So what happens here is that, so this is a zip, ODF is a zip archive, so it has a number of documents like images and XML files. So what's it doing? It's calculating a digest for each and every of those embedded fragments, like XML fragments and images, and sticks that into this document signatures XML, and then it calculates a signature over this XML part here, and then puts that into the signature value here. So that's basically how it's working. So when you change the content XML, this digest value here will be different. And if the digest value will be different here, then the signature for this document signatures XML won't match anymore. Okay, so back to the talk. So this is again what I was showing you. So that's the certificate manager there that comes up. That's how the markup looks. So this is based on, this is actually already a standard ODF. So all those PGP extensions that you find here, this PGP data, a key ID and key packet, that's already standardized. That's already, just nobody used it yet. So we could just add that, write that out, and it's not going to be invalid or problematic or any work in the standard. So encryption. So in contrast to the signature stuff, which is all wonderful, rock solid, works, standardized, is shipped in the product, this is kind of still work in progress. I have something to show you today that's actually encrypting an ODF document. But there are some buts. First of all, it's my private branch. Secondly, it's not working. Round tripping doesn't quite work. And third, we need to extend ODF for that. So that needs to go to the ODFTC for standardization. And it's kind of extended ODF than what we write, at least for a while, until this is properly standardized. So I think it's probably best to demo that straight away. Okay, so this is we see some random Git hash there. That's some development version. So we're gonna save that one. So this is but ugly, that's one of the so-called LibreOffice internal dialogues. So that's not using the system file dialog, but the kind of homegrown one. I need that because I need this extra flag here. This is, in principle, this can be added to the system dialogues as well. It's just a bit more work, and I didn't get to that. So let's try that here. What happens now? It's loading some 1,200 keys, because that's what happens to be in my PGP keyring. This is a debug version, so I have to talk for some minute or two to not have you bored too much. But it will eventually pop up this this dialog, this certificate selection dialog, where you can then select keys, like for the recipients. The plan is to encrypt to self automatically. There's a little bit of magic involved there, and some heuristics that might not always work. So there will be probably some user configurable setting that where you can set some, like for email as well, where you can set some preferred key for that, so that you always encrypt against that one. So now we have the list here, and then we can write Klaus Müller. Okay, now it's doing the encryption and saving that. And the signature has vanished again because I was saving, but I could add that again. It would just go on top. And now we would check the it's a little bit more involved, so we need to this content XML, this is now encrypted, so you don't see much. I mean, that's the entire point. What you do see is something here. So the only file that is not encrypted in an encrypted ODF is the manifest, because you need somehow you need the information like which key and where to start from. So let's load that here. So a little bit bigger. So again, this is based on, you've seen that. So this is based on existing standards. So it's not that we're reinventing the wheel there. We take XML encryption, the XML encryption standard, cherry pick the parts that we need for that. And so the plan is that this has not yet happened, but once this is working reliably, and I'm pretty sure that there's nothing much left, I'm going to write a proposal to the ODFTC that says, look, guys, this is XML's encryption standard, and this is the schema, and we need that in LibreOffice, and can we just embed that into the ODF schema? And that has worked pretty well in the past. And what you see, what's here is like some key, encrypted key element section that basically says, I have a key here. That's the transport key. This is just a random sequence of some 16 bytes of random numbers that's actually used to encrypt the streams. And that itself is encrypted with the key ID here, which is base 64, but it's just the normal GPG key ID. And there's also the key itself, the public key is embedded. So that's another nice feature of this LibreOffice work there, that it's a nice way to distribute keys. Because with every document that you sign and with every document that you encrypt, you will give the other person your key, which is very helpful, because that's another, I mean, the more different ways there are to get someone a key, the harder it is to give this person a key that is forged. So the more, and the key managers usually tell you, oh, there's a key with the same user ID, but it's a different key. Should I import that or not? Do you trust that or not? And it's also something that it's hard to modify because it's already there in this document. So if somebody wants to attack somebody or want to play man in the middle or girl in the middle, he or she would need to kind of make sure that all those documents are cleansed or updated as well. So that is largely, oh yeah, and then that's kind of, this is the part that I'm not done yet with and not completely happy with. So this is per file, per stream information on how the actual files are encrypted. And there's a variety of algorithms to use, and that's kind of work in progress. Sorry. So that's about all I wanted to tell you. Some roadmap there. I mentioned a few aspects there. So what we have as of today, if you go to libreoffice.org, you can download 5.4 if you run Linux. And if you have ever created a private key, you can start signing documents today. For February 2018, we plan that for Windows. I hope we get this done for OS X as well. If it's not too much work, I don't know about Android. Technically, it should be working. There's also key managers for Android. It's just, well, there's almost so always so much to do and so little time. So it's, at least for me, it's not a priority. But again, I mean, this is open source. So if somebody is interested in helping with OS X or with Android or even with the core implementation, just come to me after the talk. I will most happily tell you where to start. Encryption, as I said, this is not in release yet. This is in a private branch I'm working on. But this will also most definitely be done for LibreOffice 6.0. That needs ODF extensions. And for ODF Next, whatever that is, 1.3 or 2.0, that's a bit unclear. But we'll be working with the ODFTC to get this standardized so that the encryption part is also standard ODF. That said, right now LibreOffice is the only application or user agent or user-facing application that supports that. I did find a little Python library, though, that that also supports this PGP extensions from the XML encryption and XML signature standard. Okay, great. Interesting. It should have been white. Thanks for staying. Thanks for your attention. I hope you you heard a little bit of interesting stuff here. I now open for questions. If there's any. Yes, please.
How is the situation in completing smart way of the suit with the encryption and signing?
So is there any other Office Suite, if I captured that correctly, that supports that? Broadly, no. So for X509, there is support in OXML. It would be possible to add that in the same vein there for PGP. I just wonder whether there's any point, whether there's any chance that Microsoft would support that. If it's part of ODF, then perhaps they might.
Microsoft has a lot of corporate customers.
Yeah, and X509 is really a big corporate, like if you're a big corporation and you have like this strictly hierarchical and it's all kind of under control and you can deploy to millions of computers, then X509 is sort of okay. But for something distributed, for something like even in Germany, even the public sector in Germany is so diverse, like so many different entities, and everybody has their own IT, so it's now impossible to have some federal level, all of Germany, X509, at least from what I hear. So yeah, but it's up to all of us, just if. If this is LibreOffice, I mean, it's open source, so it's easy to take the code and run with it. It's up to all of us to lobby other projects, other implementers to support that. But it's also not doing any harm. I mean, so the worst that happens is that if it's signed, then, well, there's no signature information shown. So it's like getting a document without the signature.
Yeah,
it's not terrible.
It has a winning edge for office in advertising that you can do this for, like if you have two parties that both talk to office, then they can sign and they can easily communicate. It's not.
So the comment was that it's good marketing for LibreOffice and that it kind of helps perhaps to get more people to use LibreOffice because LibreOffice instances can talk to each other. That's true. I mean, there's always this, I mean, it's even for LibreOffice, it's only in the 5.4, so there will be some time for this to diffuse into general use. More questions?
So how big is that
I have no idea. But I can, maybe if you can have more questions while I'm trying to figure that out.
More of a comment. If you're looking for X509 email certificates, Komodo still gives them out for free. And StartSSL does as well, but they're going to be removed from the browser anyway.
So, any further questions while I'm fighting with Git?
So you said you have your own key store, like executive key store in LibreOffice.
No. So what's LibreOffice? So historically, LibreOffice and OpenOffice used the Firefox key store for under Linux. Optionally, the Thunderbird one, which is kind of a disaster because there's no under Linux. There's no one single key store. I mean, GPG is sort of that now. I mean, there's also X509 support. And we could, in theory, also support that the GPG ME with X509. It's just not, it doesn't have a priority right now. So that's about the size of the patch. If you can see that, maybe I should change the color. Is that visible? So this is not. Oh, actually, no, I'm lying. That's the encryption part. So for the signature part, that's some, I don't know, 1,500 lines of code, perhaps. Let's change that.
Okay, so it's not like terribly bad. Because I see a disadvantage in doing that, which is that you introduce a lot of complexity for issues that may have been better solved with another layer, like because you could also sign and enter the files themselves.
Actually, I think on. So it's not. I mean, it's. So the hard part with LibreOffice is always like finding this one line. Sorry, I should repeat the question. So you said so the question was whether that's not adding too much complexity to the code. If I got you.
Yeah, right. Especially in light of the problem being potentially solved at another layer,
My statement there is that it's usually, I mean, most of what we're doing there is, so some 70% of the functionality is there because of X509 support. We're just piggybacking on top of that. In the process of implementing that, we also remove quite some code. So while working with the code, we discovered unused areas that we were just removing. So on balance, I mean, we're talking about 10 million lines of code here. On balance, it's a rounding error. There's some added complexity, but it's not much to the files because we always embed the GPG key. That's some whatever kilobyte or two that's added to the file size. But only if you use the feature. If you don't sign and you don't pay the price. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.